The first scripture reading today comes from John 10, 7 to 10. That is from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 7 through 10. Here Jesus calls himself the gate and proclaims that all who enter through him will have eternal life. That is the promise upon which we can stake our lives. So let's read. You want to follow along in the Bible? It's on page 103. So again Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have abundant life, and they'll have it abundantly." Here ends the first reading.
Well, we are in a pretty exciting time in the life of the church, not just because we have a mountain in the middle of the church, and we're speaking and preaching from a music stand as opposed to the pulpit, but we're on the heels of Easter, and everyone's joyful, and we're all willing and looking forward to saying, "He is risen." Yeah, just the choir's looking forward to that. How about you guys? He is risen. Okay, we're still in Easter, and we're going to be in Easter all the way through Pentecost, and that's always a time when we recognize that Jesus has won. We're also on the heels of a tremendous Youth Sunday, a Sunday that had, I think, five less people in attendance than we had for Easter. So folks, I think we've broken that tradition that a lot of churches have, that the Sunday after Easter, no one really goes. And especially in some churches I know that I've been a part of, on Youth Sunday, no one really goes either. Well, we've broken that, and we've really been able to celebrate the fact of how proud we are of our youth, and also how they've been able to lead us in a real worship. We're also on the other day of the 90, on the other side, rather, of the 90-day challenge. I don't know if I've ever been involved in something in my ministry that has been so so satisfying and gratifying to hear more than one of you, a handful of you, say that this is the first time in my in our lives as a married couple that my spouse and I have sat down and read the Bible together. That means a lot to me, and that's amazing to be able to hear that and to be able, in some small way, to be a part of that. So that was super encouraging. And it's especially encouraging when we are trying to carry out our mission of making everyone mature in Jesus to find ways in which we're able to do that. We believe that Jesus, as Carol said, is the only way to the Father. That this gate needs to be revealed to people in a whole variety of ways, from the 90-day challenge to the well, to programs, to worship. There's so many different ways that we're able to provide that. And we're in a good time in the life of the church. And Jesus as the gate is what it's all about. Did you know that over the last 5 months, we've had over 30 people more attending than we did last year? That's not two. That's not five. That's quite a few. Over 30 people more. Now, granted, most is at the second service. Where are y'all? Come on now. Y'all got to pull your weight. Make sure you invite neighbors and friends to come and be a part of that. But it is a good time in the life of the church. It's a very good time. But even in the midst of this good time, even in the midst of the blessings and the celebrations and the joys, we are still very much aware that we need to reach out and strengthen those who need right now a visible sign that God is in control, like right now, like this moment. I think of Dick and Nancy Cummings, who Dick now is off the respirator and has they've tapped up the trach, and he's responding and he's greeting people and speaking. So we give thanks and praise to God. We think also of John and Cheryl. Cheryl's here, John's not, and we ask that God will continue to strengthen you and support you during this time. We think of Don and Pam Johnson as well. Even in the midst of all these blessings that we find and that we can identify in the life of the church, there's still times when we just need a vision. We just need a sign that God is still in control, that God is still touching our lives and still is in charge and is still making things happen. We need a sign that we can say, God, you are the gate, no one else. And I know that I'm going to be okay because I see that and I understand that. And that's where Jacob finds himself today in our scripture. We're back in Genesis. I know it's been a few weeks since we've seen Genesis. And we find Jacob who has a dream and he's reminded of God's presence firmly rooted on the earth. And we see how this vision then connects us to the risen Jesus and the conquering Christ who transforms our fears into faith so that we can have abundant life. Just as Dave read. So Jacob just received God's blessing. If you look at the beginning of chapter 28 also, you'll see that Isaac blesses him one more time. That's something we don't always recognize and see. And in the midst of that blessing, he says, Jacob, I want you to go find a wife now. And I want you to go find a wife, not from the Canaanites, not from the foreigners, but from those people within our family. That was normal back then. It was okay back then. And so that's what Jacob does. He leaves and he goes out on his own, never knowing if Esau just might be around the corner. Esau, his twin brother, who said he was going to kill him next time he saw him. Remember that brother, Esau? Jacob didn't do him right a couple times. So now we find him all alone, using a rock for a pillow. You know he must have been tired, right? So let's go ahead and read and see what sign God gives to him. We're in Genesis chapter 28. We're going to be looking at verses 10 through 17. 28, 10 through 17. Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he came to a certain place and stayed there for the night because the sun had set. And taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place. And he dreamed that there was a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reaching to heaven. And the angels of God were ascending and descending on it, and the Lord stood beside him and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and to your offspring. And your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south, and all the families of the earth shall be blessed in you and in your offspring. Know that I am with you, and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Well, then Jacob, he woke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I didn't even know it. He was afraid. And he said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Loving God, we do ask you now, that as you find us in the midst of celebration and as you find us in the midst also of wanting to know your presence by our side right here and right now, we ask you that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be worthy and acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I love dreams. We have it dark today, not so that you can dream, close your eyes and sleep, but rather just so that we can continue to imagine what that must have been like for Jacob, what that dream was like for Jacob, of a ladder ascending into heaven and angels ascending and descending on it. This is as close as we could get to visualizing it and to imagining what it could have looked like. But ever since that local kid, James Wolpert, is that his name, who was on The Voice, ever since he came around, my daughters have gotten addicted to The Voice. I don't know if you've ever watched it, but we did then, and now it's been like 4 years, and they can't watch it on school nights, so they can't wait till Friday comes along and school's done, and they can watch 3 hours of. Anyway, I sometimes find myself just by happenstance in that room as well. And there's this one contestant this year who every time a chair turns for her, or every time that someone votes her off or she's stolen, she says, "You know what? I had a dream that this was going to happen." And it's happened like 2 or 3 times. Like, I knew exactly that this was going to happen. No one believes her, but that's what she says at least. And it makes me think of dreams, and I love dreams. I really do. Because some dreams have some meaning to them. It's just a matter of interpreting and understanding what exactly does that dream mean. So why did Jacob have a dream at this time in his life? And that's the key part of it. It's not so much the dream itself as much as what are we going through or what are we facing in our lives when we have that dream. It's not so much the content of the dream, that's important, but it's also the context in which you're dreaming. What are you facing? What are the challenges that are right in front of you? And that's especially true for Jacob today, as we read in Scripture in chapter 28. So what was the reason that Jacob saw the ladder, and why was this time the right time for him in his life? Remember, it's a little bit of the context. In 28, he has just received that second blessing, but now he's going to go find a wife. But he also knows that any moment Esau could track him down. So in essence, he's a fugitive. He's running for his life. He's fleeing his big brother, and he's vowed to track him down. His big brother has vowed to track him down and to kill him. So he's frightened, he's scared, he's unsure of when he might be caught and taken down. So that's the context. That's where we find Jacob as he grabs that pillow to sleep on. I was asked, got a call a week or two ago to officiate a wedding in July. Now, the wedding happens to be in Italy. So I might go. I think I'm probably going to end up going and officiating over it. But for the first time in my life, and you know, I think you know by now, I'm not the cautious type, right? But for the first time in my life, I'm wondering, is it really wise to go to Europe for any reason? For the first time in my life, the State Department has issued a travel warning, not just for Brussels, but for all of Europe. And that's a pretty big place. So in the back of my mind, I'm wondering, now, how safe is that going to be? And I've never thought that way before in my life. I've never wondered whether in a place where I'm traveling, is it going to be safe or not? And we took a group to Israel, right? There's never been, up until this year, there's never been tourists killed in Israel. We do live in an interesting time. And I talk to my friends in Europe who are frightened and wondering when and where the next attack is going to come. Jacob was in that same exact state, in that same frame of mind. And let me tell you, after a short period of time, it's exhausting. You are absolutely exhausted because you're always looking over your shoulder. You're always wondering what comes next and what's right around the bend, or what's right up on that hillside. So we find Jacob today in chapter 28, completely exhausted, which I think explains why he used a rock as a pillow. Don't you love the fact that that's highlighted in Scripture? I like that fact. To me, it just shows how tired he really, really was. So he's completely alone, vulnerable, sleeping on a rock, when God comes to him and not only gives him a vision, but also speaks to him. In a lot of places in Scripture, God just gives us a vision and doesn't necessarily explain it or doesn't necessarily speak to us. But here, Jacob gets both. He gets a vision and he gets an explanation, or at least he gets God speaking to him. Look at verse 12, if you will, in chapter 28. What we find, and this is the essence of the vision, is we find a text about the ladder. First thing that we read about the ladder in verse 12 is that it is planted firmly on the earth. It's not a ladder that's kind of hovering in the sky, but it's a ladder that is planted firmly in the earth. If you have another translation in your hand, the NRSV doesn't say that, but the Hebrew alludes to the fact not that it was on the earth, but it was planted firmly on the earth. It wasn't going to move. It was steady. It was almost as if it was a part of the earth. So that's the image that Jacob gets, is this ladder that at least begins on the earth and then it reaches its way all the way to heaven. And on this ladder, what he dreams, are angels ascending and descending. Who remembers what are angels? What are they, literally? God's messengers. Someone said that. Wow, good job, Tina. God's messengers, right? They're the ones who give us God's good news. And so it makes sense that they're ascending so that they can receive the good news and then descending so that they can spread that news out to the rest of the population. They're the ones who bring that good tiding. Remember way back in John chapter 1, so this would have been 4.5 years ago, or if you did the 90-day challenge, 3 weeks ago or so. In John chapter 1, verse 51, this is what we hear when Jesus tells his disciples around him, "You will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon," he doesn't say upon a ladder, "but you will see angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." All right, quick question. It's like a children's sermon question. Who is the Son of Man? Oh, wow. That was kind of tentative there. Who's the Son of Man? Jesus, right? We know that. That's a pretty fundamental, simple aspect of our faith that we all should and do, at least now, know, right? Jesus is the Son of Man. We believe that, and we believe that strongly. So here we find in John chapter 1, verse 51, and folks, it's the same passage as Genesis 28, where Jesus is saying, "I see angels and ascending and descending, not on a ladder, but on the Son of Man." So who is Jesus calling himself, or what is Jesus calling himself? I am the what? Ladder. Thank you. Feel free to speak up. The ladder. So Jesus calls himself this ladder. Nowhere in Scripture do we see Jesus equating himself to a person. You know, Steph Curry, if you don't know who he is, he is an NBA basketball player who is doing things that no one has ever seen. Good things, like making three-point shots from half court. And he shoots them and he makes close to 50%. It's crazy. Absolutely nuts. So you have this whole generation of young kids growing up doing the same thing, saying, "I want to be like," not Mike, but "I want to be like Steph." Right? Jesus never compares himself to other people. He never says, "I am like Moses," but rather he says, "I'm the manna that Moses and the Israelites went out to gather." He never says, "I am like Abraham." Rather, he says, "I am that water, that living water from the well that your father Abraham had dug." And so here he does the same thing. He kind of equates himself to that ladder in Genesis 28, which is a little unusual for us, right? But it's no more unusual than Jesus saying, "I am the gate," which is what we hear him say in John chapter 10. So the ladder, Jesus calls himself that ladder which is firmly planted on the ground, and that allows a communication to take place between us and God. Folks, this is our basic theological understanding of who Jesus is. It's heavy. It's important. And we can't overlook it because it repeats itself in the Old and in the New Testament, where we see Jesus is that intermediary. He is the way and the means by which we can arrive to the Father. No one gets to the Father except by Him. By calling yourself a ladder, for us, helps us to recognize that Jesus is the only way to the Father. Now, Jacob didn't know Jesus. He didn't meet Jesus face to face like the disciples did or the others in the first century. But he didn't know that right after this vision, God tells him, "I am the Lord." And then he repeats that promise to Jacob that he had told Isaac and that he had told Abraham and that he had told those before him as well. And when he gives him this promise, he says, "I am going to be with you. No matter where you go, I am going to be with you, planted firmly on the earth." Jacob the fugitive, as he feels completely alone, as he feels out of touch with the rest of the world, as he's fleeing for his life, as he's seeking everywhere and anywhere for protection, as he encounters God and even the risen Christ, just when he needs it the most, at that point God tells him, "I am going to be with you. I will never leave you." I think he needed to hear it then more than any other time in his life. Jesus, in his ministry, as he calls himself the gate, carries all that meaning that's involved. It allows people to enter in. It allows people to go into a reality where they hadn't been before. That's the gate. And Jacob calls the place, and this is what we find at the end of our reading in chapter 28. He says, "This is the gate of heaven." It was a place where he had directly felt God's presence and where he had been given a promise by God that his ancestors, even before him, had heard. And Jesus states that, "I am the gate of heaven. Whoever comes by me will be saved." You know, I'm thinking that right now might be the right time to hear that Jesus is our ladder, firmly planted on the earth, the one who allows us to receive the promises of Almighty God and who tells us that He is with us. Jesus is the gate, and He is in control of all that takes place around us and all that happens to us. So as we hear in Scripture and as Jacob hears, do not fear, do not lose heart, do not despair. For God comes and always delivers right on time. Amen. Loving Lord, we do give you thanks and praise and honor, because you remind us that you are the gate, you are the ladder, you are the way, the truth, and the life, that no one can come to the Father except by you. So watch over us and keep us, loving Lord, as we each find ourselves in a place in our lives that is unique. We are celebrating, we are joyful, we are thankful, but we are also needing your presence. Thank you, Jesus, for giving us a dream that reminds us that you are firmly planted right by our side. You will never leave us or forsake us. Whatever path we choose, you will walk that path with us. And we praise you for that, for it's in His name that we pray. Amen.